Tom Cross is here in studio with me, along with Al Bowman. Tom is the chair of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Al is executive director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me here. Tom brought up the fact that he and I both received a text message last night of how this, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the vote in Springfield that kept the White Sox in Chicago and resulted in the building of Guaranteed Rate Field.
Now, still call it Comiskey Park.
Well, the new Comiskey Park. But yeah, that was, it was one of the most memorable votes, and I'll be very quick about this. The bill looked like it had no chance, and it's the last day of session, and it was important. Back then, the session ended on June 30th, and it's important because you needed simple majorities to enact it. 60 votes in the Senate, in the House, 30 votes in the Senate. If it won't go past midnight, then it takes a 3/5 majority. And they were struggling to even try to get a majority. The bill actually passed the Senate, unbelievably so, goes to the House. The hours while away. Jim Thompson is working the floor during the roll call, promising virtually anything he can. One Republican lawmaker, former lawmaker, Jim Stang, promised him that he'd be Secretary of State. So from then on, every time I saw Jim Stang, I always called him Secretary of State Stang.
Didn't happen.
Never happened. No. Others got projects voted for him, you know, supported by the governor. The vote goes to, the clock goes to midnight. And up in the gallery was a St. Petersburg, Florida TV station that sees the clock go to midnight. And the guy who's doing his live shot is looking at viewers in Florida going, that's it, it's midnight, the Sox are coming to Florida, the Sox are coming to Florida. Of course, those of us on the floor were laughing because the roll call was still open. And finally, the 60th vote comes. Jim McPike was in the chair, gavels it down. This bill, having received a constitutional majority, is hereby declared passed. 60 votes. It's 12:03 in real time. The roll call gets printed out, and over the 12:03 that's stamped on it, it was whited out. And in pen was written over on the whiteout, 11:59 p.m. And the bill became law. It was challenged in court. For some reason, the challengers took it to a Cook County court, where, of course, you knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
But the judge ruled that the legislature was entitled to tell what time it was.
It's a fascinating story, and I was not there, but what I thought was interesting, when I was reading it and listening to it, someone was...
Yes, right. There was a broadcast. It was the WMAQ news radio then.
Carrying it live,
the vote, yeah.
But Governor Thompson was literally on the floor.
Absolutely.
And twisting arms, and you hear this... Representative so-and-so changes his vote from no to yes. And he just he picked off five or six people, didn't
right.
he?
Right, yes, all in that time span.
Fascinating story.
And I was not at the Tribune then. I was actually working for the Rockford Register Star.
Oh, wow.
And I was in Springfield, and it was owned by Gannett, which owns USA Today. So USA Today called and said, hey, if this happens, can you cover this for us? And so... The next day I was on the front page of the USA Today sports section with the White Sox staying in Florida.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. Well, all right, I digress. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to start our conversation about the future, and a serious conversation about the future of higher education in Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
This afternoon.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio on Wacker Drive overlooking the Chicago River. And joining me here to help christen the first show of the Sunday Spin in our new studios is Tom Cross, former Illinois House Republican leader who now is chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and Al Bowman, who is the executive director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Gentlemen. Welcome to the new studios.
Good morning. Although I miss the Michigan Avenue location.
Yeah, but it's kind of a... the loftiness gives me something to aspire to. That's how about
beautiful
that?
View.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Well, I wanted to have both of you in to talk about the fate and future of higher education, and it's something that we've talked a lot about on this show a lot, particularly during the 2-year historic budget impasse and watching the struggles of these institutions of higher education, state institutions, what they were going through, and very valid questions of whether they could survive. And obviously, we had a budget put in place a year ago, followed by a budget this year. But I have to wonder if some of those, I mean, back during the impasse, people would ask me, their kids were getting ready to go to college, you know, would you recommend going to a state school? And at that time, that was very difficult to try to say yes, because of the lack of certainty, the lack of unknowing about funding, kids and monetary award program grants, those kinds of things. Now that we've had a bit of certainty, are things better? Are they reversing, or are they going in a different direction? I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I think things are better. There was a level of uncertainty surrounding state funding and institutional survivability during that budget impasse. And for a typical middle-class family that's sending a child off to college, it's a major investment. And families rightly want some reassurance that the program is going to be available 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And we also, the institution suffered some reputational damage as a result of the impasse, and it will take time for that to heal, but I think the healing has started.
I think the other thing, Al, you can speak to this even more, is I think they had somewhat of an issue with faculty deciding whether they wanted to stay or do they want to come to Illinois, just because of that the impasse, if you will, and I think that factors into this discussion as well. I think,
yeah, well, it sure does.
Well, and you mentioned too about, you know, if you were going into a program, you didn't have any guarantee that that program would be there by the time you graduated, or that it would necessarily meet accreditation.
Right.
And so, you know, what are you getting for your buck out of that?
Yeah, it was frustrating for the institutions and, of course, for the students who were involved, because it was, in many ways, you could call it self-inflicted damage. You know, higher education is a competitive environment, and in a state like Illinois, we are surrounded by states that have Big Ten and Big 12 institutions. We're a large producer of high school graduates, and so we put other states in play who are recruiting our students, and that did a disservice to ourselves.
I know that, you know, there was a school of thought about, with the governor, about the belief that maybe these universities were too bloated and administratively, and do they necessarily need to offer all of the academic choices that they do? I mean, certainly each school does have its kind of specialties. But I'm curious what your view is, and that's why I asked if things have changed, because certainly the issues of bloat were a major concern.
Sure.
And money in classroom. It's at all levels of education, it's about how to steer more money to the classroom.
Yeah, I having spent 40 years in higher ed and from the inside, there certainly are examples of bloat, but it's not widespread. And I think it makes
it's kind of like
story.
The argument about waste and abuse to cut the budget of the state government, that magic line item that exists.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example from my own career. I spent 10 years as president of Illinois State University. And in the president's office, besides myself, I had a chief of staff who also doubled as the media relations director. And I had 3 full-time clerical staff. That was it. There was no administrative bloat there, and I think that office is pretty typical of what you would find in most public universities.
when you go to the issue of course offerings and schools being kind of these jack of all trades, I mean, at a time, you know, when you look at like Western Illinois University, Eastern Illinois University, the ones that looked like they were pretty suffered the most out of this, is there still a value of having these regional schools that offer multi-course, multidisciplinary offerings, or is the world so different these days that you just become more specialized?
Well, I think what most people want to see in higher ed is actually occurring, and that is institutions that, let's say, have more modest enrollments, let's say 12 to 14,000 students. Those institutions tend to not offer a wide array of graduate and professional programs. They tend to offer, for the most part, their offerings really reflect the student body and the region that they serve. So if you look at an Eastern Illinois University or a Western, you don't see multiple low enrollment doctoral programs. They just don't exist. The student demand isn't there. Those kind of programs rightly exist at larger institutions like University of Illinois Urbana, UIC, Illinois State University. So I think what we want institutions to do, and that is do what they do best and meet the needs of the state's workforce, I think that's happening.
I don't think there was anything good about the impasse. So I want to make sure I preface this. I mean, I look at the debacle in the MAP world of not having MAP and what that does to kids, and I think that was awful.
The monetary award.
Hopefully we can spend some time on that. But at the same time, I think what this did is it forced universities, both at the public and private level, to reassess where they were and where they are and where they're going on things like course offerings and why are they there and what should they be doing? What's their brand? What are they known for? And I think situations like that put you into that conversation whether you want it or not. Again, it wasn't the way to do it in the ideal world. But I do think it allowed probably presidents to make some decisions that maybe they had wanted to do, but they were getting a lot of pushback from the faculty and others. And they said, all right, now's an opportunity to make some changes that we always wanted to do. Again, not the best way to do it, but I think that has gone on as well.
But kind of forcing like a prioritization.
I think that's a better way to describe it than what I just said. I agree. No, I think that's what it did. Again, and I've said it more than I don't need to say anymore, but it wasn't the way you would do it, but I think it happened.
Well, and I think also you had an outgrowth of this was that the bipartisan legislative working group in the General Assembly on higher education, and they seem to have produced some positive results. You talked about the monetary award program. We go from not being able to fund them to now it's almost pretty much a guarantee that if you qualify, you get it for 4 years automatically.
The biggest, to me, and Al will have maybe a different perspective, one of the biggest issues with MAP is that we woefully underfund it. So if the need out there that exists for students in the state gets closer to $1 billion, I think we funded it was at about $401 million. So there are a lot of students that want to go to both public and private schools that we can't help. And so they're either not going to go to school or they're going to go out of state. And that's something. Is it good? The General Assembly did a good thing in what they did this year, one, in funding it. They increased it last year, which I'm glad they did. But long term, we really need to look at, do we want to make a commitment to the MAP program and can we increase the funding? But this year was a good step.
But, I mean, well, actually, we'll have to take a quick break. But when we come back after the news, I want to talk about issues like MAP as an alternative to what's going on with tuition and those kinds of things. So we're speaking with Tom Cross, the former Illinois House Republican leader, chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and Al Bowman, executive director of IBHE, former president of the Illinois State University and the Redbirds. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline Studio on East Wacker Drive overlooking the Chicago River. And joining me here to help christen the studio, Tom Cross, the chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and he's with Al Bowman, the executive director of IBHE, and we're talking about Illinois' higher education system and where that stands today. And before we took a break for the news, Tommy, we're talking about the issue of MAP grants and wanting to see an even increased amount of money put into that to provide more opportunity for more students to get these monetary award grants, because forever it's the money available can't keep demand with the students who are seeking it. And that leads me to the question about tuition in this state for public institutions. And I don't know if this is related, but I go back to the days when the state would get an increase of natural increase in funding. And there was an old formula that was of the new money, two-thirds went to elementary and secondary education, and one-third went to higher education. And then I remember Rod Blagojevich became governor, and he went before the Tribune editorial board and was laying out his budget proposal. And I said, well, what happened to the old two-thirds, one-third routine? And he said he didn't know what I was talking about. And that seemed to be the mark of where, and of course, it's not just Illinois, this has happened nationally, but state support of higher education seems to be what gets chopped in budgets by chief executives, by legislators looking to save money. And tuition, in turn, seems to be what rises in exchange.
Illinois is not an outlier, and you're exactly right. It has happened across the country. It started, for the most part, in 2002, and states began gradually pulling dollars away from support for higher ed operations. And I don't believe it reflected a change in priorities. I think it reflected a change in spending patterns that reflected the needs of each of the states. And those dollars that at one time went to higher ed were being redirected to things like Medicaid. And most of the dollars that we received then are now going to Medicaid. And, you know, that the byproduct, unfortunately, is that tuition rates went up. They went up slightly faster and higher in Illinois than it did in some other states. But the sticker price that the typical student pays is, for the most part, not what is published. For the most part, the net price is a discounted amount that's far less than that sticker price.
But we hear all of these stories about, you know, how student debt for tuition, over $1 trillion in debt, and issues involving repaying that debt.
Right.
I mean, certainly there is a cost factor.
There is, and as the burden has shifted to students and families, costs have certainly gone up. In Illinois, one of the bright spots that we don't talk about very much is that the monetary award program is actually one of the largest need-based scholarship programs in the country. But when you look at the average debt of an undergraduate from an Illinois institution, we are actually below the national average. We rank 19th out of 50 states. And if you take the and of course, the national average is above $30,000. But if you take the typical student who leaves with $25,000 in debt, if they repay that debt over a 10-year period at 6.8% interest, the payment is $280 a month. That sounds very different than $25,000. And of course, we all love a latte and a blueberry muffin and a scone. Well, if you buy a latte and a scone every day, it's roughly $7. That's $210 a month. I think the $25,000 investment, when you look at what the payoff is, which is more than $1 million in lifetime earnings because of that degree, it's worth it.
Well, and you just touched on a question, too, about people are raising the issue about, you know, are you getting the bang for the buck in higher education? And, you know, renewed talk, even to the point that the White House is talking about merging the Department of Education with the Department of Labor, and that, you know, why aren't we stressing vocational education and those kinds of things? I mean, what do you say when those questions get raised?
Well, we need both. We need higher education. We also need workforce training and other kinds of non-college training programs. And you look at where the jobs went since the last recession. Well, 70% of the new jobs that were created since 2008 went to people who had either a college degree or some post-secondary training. If you look at the unemployment rate today for college graduates, it's 2.5%. It probably can't be any lower than that.
I think the other thing that you're seeing, and I think ISU, Al, you've talked about it, and Larry Dietz has talked about it, Aurora University, where I work, talks about it, is incorporating in a substantive, significant way the business community. And you know, where I work, we talk about utilizing the business community and not only the creation of the curriculum, but implementing the curriculum. And when you do that, I think you're more apt to be job ready when you've got a substantive portion.
Well,
of your,
as a public-private kind of partnership.
Yeah, but it has to be real. It can't
right.
just be, hey, we've got, you know, you're just on a name as a name, but you have to really be at the table helping create curriculum so you can say, this is what we need when we're ready, when we're looking for employees after you get out of school. And I think there's more of that going on, and there needs to be more of it going on than has been in the future.
Well, I think when you talk about though, that seems to be more of what you hear on a community college level in a vocational aimed kind of programming. Am I correct
yeah,
with that?
No, it happens at the four-year institutions as well. It's probably not as well publicized. My own experience at Illinois State University with State Farm Insurance headquarters in our backyard, they had a need for technical staff who could work in cybersecurity. We had a very good computer science department. We developed an expertise in cybersecurity. State Farm was involved in developing the curriculum. And now we're producing those graduates.
And that went on at the STEM school at Aurora, third through eighth graders, where they spent a year building the curriculum, and now same groups, Caterpillar, Waste Management, Exelon, implementing the curriculum. That's now, that model's being copied at the undergraduate level as well. And that to me makes a ton of sense of getting students ready. But I'd like to go back to one thing that you and Al just briefly touched on. It's one of the myths that I think needs to be debunked in the state of Illinois is that it's better and cheaper to go to the surrounding states. And we just touched on it for a minute, but the reality is that we are very competitive, whether it's at ISU or U of I, UIC, the other schools, with the Iowas, the Indianas, the Missouris, and people. But the discussion that goes on is that it's cheaper to go out of state, and I just think that needs to be highlighted a little bit in this conversation.
IBHE has done some studies to look at what the typical Illinois resident who leaves the state pays at the five large institutions that tend to draw Illinois residents. And the average tuition and fees paid by Illinois residents at those institutions is $21,700. And that's $5,000 more than the full tuition and fees at the University of Illinois at Urbana.
We're speaking to Al Bowman, Executive Director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and Tom Cross, the Chairman of the IBHE. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
This is Dean Ritten.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're speaking about higher education today with Tom Cross, the Chair, and Al Bowman, the Executive Director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. And Al, I was curious about the issue of the out-migration of Illinois high school students, which the impasse seemed to just magnify that situation.
Yeah, out-migration has been an artifact of life in Illinois for a long, long time. If you go back to 2002, 29% of high school seniors left the state to go to college. So, you know, that's a situation that has existed for many, many years. It has been gradually creeping upward. And, of course, during the budget impasse, it really accelerated. But we're at a point now where just over 46% of high school seniors leave the state. And
so nearly
that's
half.
Something we need to do something about. Yeah, it's nearly half. And, you know, fortunately for Illinois, two-thirds of those kids who get degrees out of the state come back. But among Illinois residents who earn degrees in the state, 92% of them remain in the state after graduation.
I think the MAP program, which you've talked about, helps that issue. Two, the AIM High that passed, and actually Al and with the Board of Higher Ed had a similar proposal with the funding level of $50 million, but the kudos to the General Assembly for recognizing the AIM High program as a way to, I think, slow down that out-migration.
And that's a merit-based scholarship, yeah, versus the MAP being a monetary income-based.
Right. There is an income component to AIM High, but it's high enough that it absorbs most of the middle class.
You were talking off air about, on air you talked about out migration, but this is a highly recruited place for out of state schools.
Sure. One of my frustrations in life is that we don't talk about the good things that happen in our state, and certainly one of them is that we are the fifth highest producer of high school graduates, and so that makes Illinois a pretty ripe recruiting ground for college recruiters. And we know that there are over 80 institutions that have offices in the Chicago area to recruit our students
full-time.
Yes,
full-time recruiting of high school students.
We not only produce a lot of students, we produce very good students, and they're in demand. States around us, like Indiana and Iowa, don't produce enough high school graduates to fill their enrollment targets. They need Illinois residents.
I think the out migration issue gets to be an even bigger issue, not just because of the impasse, but there's not an elected official or resident, I think, in Illinois right now that says anything positive about Illinois. And we all fall into that trap. And when people repeat it time and time again, and you read it in the paper and you hear it on the news, if you're a student and you're thinking about where do you want to go to school, and all you've heard about is how bad Illinois is on all of the issues, then I think that perpetuates the problem even more. And it's not just we had a budget impasse on higher ed. I think there are other things going on. And I think it becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy when all you do is rip on the state of Illinois on a daily basis, and everybody does it.
Well, you were saying off air, a lot of kids going to Alabama from Illinois, which was like, I mean, that wasn't even on a radar for a lot of people.
No, and I think for students who want a Big Ten experience, they obviously, it's easier to look at institutions out of state and apply simply because of the internet. And if you've got a budget impasse and some worries about viability of state institutions, kids are going to look.
I mean, Iowa has always been a strong school that people always look at. Wisconsin, I think, Madison. Missouri is now jokingly called the University of Chicagoland at Missouri. Can we say that higher ed is back on track here?
I think that the out-migration problem has gotten the attention of legislators in Springfield. And that legislative working group, I believe, came together because of concern about having so many kids leave the state to go to college out of state. And we have a stable budget this year. There's obviously a new investment in the AIM High program. I think as the state is able, additional investments will pay off, and many of those students will begin to come back.
But are we likely to see more state funding support for higher education?
I think the state simply has to decide, as any home owner does,
where this fits into the list of priorities.
Where should the dollars be spent? And I understand that there are a lot of needs across the state. But we have to invest in our young people that will pay dividends down the road.
You have some good legislators like Pat McGuire, Dan Brady. This is a priority for them, and their leadership, I think, was shown in this last budget year.
That's Tom Cross. He's the chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. He's here along with Al Bowman, executive director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Gentlemen, thank you so much for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We'll be back with more right after this.
All of us.